Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good morning. Today is July the 11th, and I'm with Scott Patty and also John Cramp here on our podcast today.
Morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm well. John, yeah. How are you?
I'm good. I just kind of got hijacked and brought into this.
We always joke, John, in our podcast that if someone shows up at our office, we may ask them to be on the podcast.
If you show up during podcast time, we'll get you.
You may never know.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a busy morning. We just had all the youth leave for MFuge camp, and we just had all the kids leave for Centra Kids. So
yeah,
we got a lot of people on the road right now.
And there are a lot of people. I mean, I was just over there, and big crew for both youth and children. So everybody pray for travel mercies and and no sickness and lots of good fruit from their labors and the gospel. And it's going to be a good week.
Yeah.
Pray for the adults going.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They got a lot of moving parts. Mm-hmm. So, well, excited to have this podcast. And so we wanted to bring John in for a lot of reasons, but this is a time that we get to kind of talk to someone who's been at Grace for 20 years and has been an elder, has been in ministry a long time in your life. And so, Scott, I'm going to throw it over to you to ask some questions for John, but would love to just kind of hear from him this morning.
Sure. Well, I appreciate you doing this, John. So to let everybody know who you are, John Cramp is and Lynn Marie, his wife, they have been members here at Grace for 20 years. And John has served as an elder here at Grace for, I don't know, 15 or so of those 20 years. And has served in so many ways here at Grace. It's we can't even count them. Local church has been a part of your life forever. John is a former church pastor. He's I'm sure worked in youth ministry somewhere along the way. Every pastor does a little bit of that.
Wow.
John is a musician and has just done a lot. And like I said, been an elder here at Grace. So the thing that I wanted to, the reason that we're talking to John today is because John and Lynn Marie are transitioning themselves out of Nashville to Asheville, North Carolina. And so it gives us an opportunity just to hear a little bit from him. And maybe I said earlier, some parting words, not parting shots, for us here at Grace and maybe give us some wisdom. But
well, it is bittersweet for sure. And so, you know, we've been wanting to get closer to our daughters. One is in one is in Columbia, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. One is in Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. Both my sons-in-laws are pastors of churches, and we haven't been able to figure out a way to get them to move to Nashville. So we finally conceded and are gonna move to them. And that was one of the, I guess, the few benefits of COVID is that remote work became a possibility. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to make a shift without retiring from my job. I'm work for HarperCollins Christian Publishing and lead the Bible publishing program there. Mm-hmm. And so I'll still be coming back to Nashville, but this is just a chance to get closer to family.
And grandkids are involved.
Grandkids, got three with each family, so six grandkids. And I think I knew it was getting serious when Lynn Marie said that she had missed the last big event we were going to miss in these kids' lives. Yeah. And so that, in our lives, when Lynn Marie says we're going to do this, then you better start paying attention.
That's right. Well, and I'm grateful that you guys have the flexibility that you can make the move closer to them.
It's a real blessing.
They can at this time.
I have a memory of John when, speaking of being a good, I know he's a good grandparent because it was, I think, it was some class I was teaching. My son was kind of, we were getting ready, and he said something, "I like Paw Patrol." And without skipping a beat, John Cramp sang the entire Paw Patrol intro song. And my son was like, "How does this guy know the entire song?" I was like, "He's a good grandfather."
That's right.
There you go.
John, you've done a lot here at Grace and eldering and really do. I'll just go ahead and say just a personal mentor for me. Mm-hmm. So your wisdom is spread throughout the congregation. But one of the things that has been so helpful is your teaching. And we were talking earlier and you were telling this really interesting story about teaching a particular class here at Grace. that has a great lesson in it for serving. So tell us about that.
Well, let me ask you a question first. Mm-hmm. Do you remember asking me to lead this class through the Bible in 1 year?
I do. Yes, I absolutely do. And the reason is because I was trying to figure out how to get our church to read the Bible in their in their daily quiet time, devotional life, get our members to read the Bible through a year. And I thought, what a great idea to have a class that goes along with it. And that's and I thought of you. I said, well, John's the perfect person to teach this class through the whole Bible.
So here's my follow-up question. Were you under the impression that I knew how to do that? Yes. That's what I want to know.
Yes, and I don't know why. I just assumed.
That was really foolish.
Maybe there was, did you not talk?
No, I had never done that. I mean, if you asked me to do something over the years, I've always tried to say yes.
Well.
And this was one where I said yes. You know, it's kind of like Jesus' parable, you know, the man who signs up to build a tower and hadn't counted the cost. Yeah. I'm just thinking, boy, that was the stupidest thing I ever agreed to do. So,
well, tell us about that.
Well, I mean, you know, you talk about daunting. I mean, I had been a pastor for 15 years. I'd been to seminary, so I knew some stuff about the Bible. Mm-hmm. But to go through and say, I'm going to teach, you know, probably 48 Sundays and go through every book of the Bible. And we even did a session on the Apocrypha, which was the kind of the middle parts, not a part of the official canon. And I just remember every week thinking, there is no way I can do this. I don't understand it enough. And so I started working my way through and piecing it together. And you know, people were really kind and kept showing up. But the interesting thing, Scott and Justin, is that I did that for 3 years in a row. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of got a little better. The first year was raggedy. But what happened, I don't know if the class got anything out of it, but it changed my world. And how it changed my world is I would say before teaching that class, I had a sort of checkered, spotty understanding of the Bible. But until you have to take a week and teach through Nahum or figure out, you know, the difference between, you know, the various kings and the divided kingdom and who goes with what and which prophets go with all that. I mean, I had no idea. And once you kind of begin to get a read on that, man, oh man, the Bible just starts to click into shape in a way that is just huge.
Yeah.
And so after that, once I sort of got this cumulative big picture, then what I found at a practical level, I could dive in a chapter or a story and have an awareness of where this fits into the big story.
Yeah, the grand
so it was a game changer for me.
That's great. You know, I'm sure people were teaching the Bible in terms of the what is the narrative, what's the whole narrative, the whole story, the meta narrative of the scripture earlier. I'm sure they were, but I think you and I probably shared a similar background in that maybe when we were younger, we were taught to look at the individual pieces.
That's right.
And not understand the story of God's redemptive work and what is redemptive history that's over the whole thing. Hmm. So getting that for you was a game changer.
It was just huge. And I would say it has affected me ever since. And so, you know, I've wondered what are ways for people to get that. You know, there's one really good book that I used by Max Anders, 30 Days to Understanding the Bible. If somebody has not read that, that's an old book, but it's huge. So anything that helps anyone get a big picture of the Bible, how it fits together, I think once you have that in place, then you can listen to a sermon, sit in a class, you know, have a personal devotional time, and it'll just make more sense.
Yeah, Yeah, that's great. And it also, you were saying earlier, there was a bit of a service lesson, kind of a lesson you got from that whole experience about serving and how you gain from it.
Well, there's just something about doing something with a group of people and learning together and just, you know, sort of a long, hard thing. So, you know, to do something 3 years, I had different people help with that. Lots of people coming in on Sundays that I would be gone. And, you know, some people actually went through that class a couple of times, asked great questions. So we were all learning together. And they're just, I think that's emblematic of what has meant so much to me about being at Grace. Is as I've thought about it, being a part of Grace changed the spiritual trajectory of my life. So I've always been a part of church. I've been a part of good churches, and I've been a part of churches I've pastored, which are not so good. So, you know, this was way better than that. So, you know, but what I didn't anticipate 20 years ago is how much difference it would make to just show up week after week, to be in relationship with people, to teach classes, be in classes, to be in worship, to sing together, to pray together, to listen to pastoral prayers together, to hear wonderful exposition together. And I don't know how to explain it, but the cumulative impact of that over 20 years took a trajectory of my spiritual life, which, you know, everybody's life could be better spiritually. But without me even knowing it, it bent the curve upward more than I would have anticipated.
That's wonderful.
Yes, yeah.
That's powerful. I hope that is the experience of others that are a part of not just our local church, Grace, but other when they commit to another local church. Yeah. That's tremendous. John, you probably just answered. I had a question in mind before, but you've really sort of touched on it now, and that is, what would you say to folks at Grace as they think about that, you know, getting that maximum out of the connection and the contribution of the local church? Because that's how we partly how we define church membership, an intentional connection and contribution to a local assembly of believers, a local church. What are some things you would encourage our congregation in that intentionality of connection and contribution to a local church?
I think sometimes people along the way are expecting things to be, you know, just blow them away in one experience, one Sunday, one event, as if that's going to make all the difference. And I think what that misses is just the long connective process. It's committing yourself to walking through life with a bunch of people. And that's what Lynn Marie and I will miss so much. I mean, we love the people of Grace, and we've had just dear friends that, you know, have and will mean so much to us as we make a move. So you don't leave that. But it's all of those things that I think if people just come into church thinking, I'm going to show up for a slot of time on a Sunday, and that's going to be big for me. And I do believe God will use that. I mean, I think anytime any of us show up for one collective time with God's people, it's great. But I think the real gold is in that long commitment. I mean, you just got to commit to being there with people over the long haul. And that's just what I love, being able to go through that. I mean, to go through good times, hard times, building programs, Scott, you
I think
and
I you showed up during one, didn't you?
you remember joking about that? Yes. Scott, you tried to get me to to join Grace through David Atchison right after we moved here from Portland, Oregon, where I've been pastor of this little missions church. And I'm thinking, there is no way I will be part of a church plant.
Yeah.
And secondarily, there is no way I will be a part of a church that doesn't have a building and sign myself up for multiple building campaigns. I mean, I was emphatic.
Yeah, you were.
And, you know, what a wonderful thing to come around to the place in our lives. We didn't join Grace when we came here in 92, but when we did come, we're meeting Sunday nights at First Christian, and we just fell in love with this place. And, you know, we've had the privilege of participating in three building campaigns. And
the privilege of participating in three building campaigns. No, that's a sign of transformation of heart there.
But no fooling. Yeah. I mean, it was great because, I mean, it, you know, even the way Grace does building campaigns, I feel sorry for people that have come since all of that was done, because they miss out on why anybody could with a straight face say it was a privilege to be involved. It did tons more for me and Lemurie than it did for Grace.
Wow, that's encouraging. And and yes, I remember that first time we went to lunch when you'd moved back to Nashville, and I didn't know before I went in what church PTSD looked like. But
That is exactly it.
But I did when I left the lunch.
Yeah. There's never been a time when somebody left a lunch as fast as I did. It was nothing against you, but I was thinking.
Yeah. You heard church plant and you hit the door.
Man.
That's funny.
Wow.
Yeah. John, you know, there's no secret. It's an overused term, but it's real that change is inevitable, and change is here, and it's been happening over the past several years in culture and in church life and in even some here at Grace. A lot of change.
Yeah.
And you're going through a change. You and Lemurie, you're going to be making a transition of your housing and back to your family, close to your family. What would you, how would you encourage the members of Grace, as we all are processing a bit of change in the world, in the evangelical community, maybe even our local church or their personal lives? Talk to us.
Well, I think it's really helpful in times of upheaval and confusion to just remember why you've loved people for a long time. So, you know, I think that's really important. That's the benefit of having been someplace. I mean, we've walked through lots of experience with lots of people. And so if somebody has a different view or this and that, it doesn't negate that deep relational equity. And that's why I think that the biggest admonition that I would give to somebody is, you know, if you're visiting, go ahead and just say, this is it. You know, you're in order to get the benefit that I believe the Lord intended for connection to a local fellowship, you just got to sign up with the expectation that it's an imperfect place, just like we're imperfect people. And we say, these are the people I'm going to go through life with. And if we get sideways, we'll figure it out. If we hurt each other's feelings accidentally, we'll ask for forgiveness and we'll move on. But I just think that there's something about just showing up week after week after week and hearing the Bible taught. There's something magical about singing with people at Grace where you hear the congregation singing. Gosh, that is so unifying in all of that. That just pulls us together. And I think about the value, Scott, of listening to your pastoral prayers. I've learned to pray better, probably just learned to pray, I think, but learned to pray at least better from listening to you pray. And I know that's been a journey for you. I mean, I've watched you commit yourself as a individual and as our pastor to saying prayer needs to be more important in this church. And you've modeled that. Well, there's just something about joining with a congregation in heart and spirit when you're praying that has a huge unifying effect, I believe. And so, you know, I just feel like it's a wonderful thing to say, these are my people, and I'm just going to walk through with them, and we're going to figure it out, and we're going to remember that the reasons we love each other are more important than the momentary things that might cause us to misunderstand each other. And so if we could get that down in churches across the nation, I think that would be a really good thing. And I do believe that'll come. I think it's intrinsic to the gospel. I think Jesus intended for us to be known by love. And even if we're not, I think he'll still call us back to that.
Yeah, that's powerful. I love the takeaway from there for me, what you just said, use the word relational equity. The relational equity is what love and long-termness in it is what helps us navigate change. John, that's great. Brother, we love you in Limerie, and we're so grateful. And the, you know, we're doing on this, talking about this on this podcast, but we'll continue to relate together. And Grace will always be your Nashville church home.
And we'll be back.
So, but thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, thanks.